And we're back. That's the Taylor. This is the Taylor Report. That was Sister Rosetta Tharpe. And didn't it rain? We want to also say something about this storm crawling up the east coast of Florida. Sympathies with all the people, and hope everyone is weathering it. But and at the same time, call attention to the fact that it hit a lot of folks in the Caribbean. And we want to point out that the Cubans were really in the path of it. When this was coming, there was a lot of talk about it was going to bypass or rub again. There's a lot of odd metaphors. It's going to get close to Cuba. But apparently Cuba really took a hard hit. And the thing to note about it is that Cuba is an island country that has been on its own and under U.S. sanctions. As a matter of fact, U.S. sanctions were voted, you know, to be renewed by Donald Trump only a couple of days ago, while Cuba was sending assistance to neighboring states who were already experiencing problems with damage. Being a good neighbor, the U.S. administration, and when I say that, I mean not the one they call Crazy Donald. I mean the Democratic Party and all, you know, the Clintons and the Obama, all the sweet people, all the good ones. They got their fang teeth out and bit Cuba as best they could, because when they see it down, they want to make sure that it bleeds. It didn't bleed, of course. And Cuba, you have to say, they know how to organize. In order to sustain themselves, it is a socialist economy, socialist society, and guarantee the security of the population is the first pledge of any socialist government. So they know a lot about hurricanes, and they've been through a lot. And they've really mastered the ability to survive them. And so they deserve a lot of credit. And by the way, for the safety and security of the American people, they'd be wise to study them. They don't need to patronize them. They need to go there and visit and be polite and see what they could learn. And further, there's another sister country. That's Puerto Rico. We're going to be hearing a lot about Florida, but Puerto Rico happens to be American territory. Puerto Ricans are American citizens who don't have the right to vote for president. They have no congressman. It's not permitted because they insist on speaking Spanish, and that is not digestible to the wonderful state that absorbed them from Spain after promising them independence. This gets funnier and funnier. Anyway, the Puerto Ricans have been hit very hard, and I really think we should be watching them. And wouldn't it be great if the countries were allowed to treat each other reciprocally and without having to phone Pentagon and ask? Cubans could definitely help Puerto Rico, and vice versa. It could be and it would be good for the long term safety. If people are going to tell us that the hurricanes are going to get bigger and worse, et cetera, that's what the authorities agree. They seem to agree. Then we need, I'm sorry to tell the privatizers, we need more cooperation. We need more popular forms of government where people can interact and help each other and, as I say, not have to phone the Pentagon or the International Monetary Fund or Goldman Sachs. Can I go and help that guy? And they tell you yes or no. Depends on who you're going to buy the concrete from. The last thing on that that occurs to me is to mention, you notice how many people have forgotten that Houston happened? Houston must be a wreck. Didn't they tell us worse than Katrina, right? Worse. So if the damage was worse, I mean, that's unspeakable.
I want to comment that there's one thing that Houston has been well known for people who study municipal governance, right, which is that Houston has always been the poster of pure laissez-faire when it comes to urban planning. That is to say, they have none. They don't even have a zoning laws in Houston. And Houston's attitude has been, whatever the people who hold private property want to do with their property, that's fine. So one of the things they did with their property, of course, was that they filled in all of the marshland that could have absorbed a lot of this water. They paved it. They made parking lots and high-rises out of it. And very, very little is being talked in the United States about how this model of laissez-faire capitalism isn't working.
It's not fair.
It's not fair.
Laissez-faire is not fair. You're right. And that's exactly you and I probably read the same article. Somebody wrote a brilliant piece. I think maybe it was the Washington Post. No, it was Newsweek, actually. He's from Houston, and he said, we have an expression, impermeable surface. Houston loves the impermeable surface, which means the water cannot reach the ground, which in Houston is marsh area. It's actually a bayou. And so by putting all the asphalt down, laying all the concrete, building swimming pools, and as you say, with nobody selling them they can't, they've created themselves a great artificial lake to drown in and rivers to feed the lake. So it's a center of a certain type of moron. But listen, and all praise for Texas, San Antonio believes in guaranteeing ground surface so that the water can be absorbed. San Antonio and Austin. It's hard for us folks here to understand, but in many parts of Texas, Austin is regarded as San Francisco. I mean, it's considered, or Berkeley, it just can't believe it, you know, that it's even in Texas. But they are smart enough, you know, to make these plans. So let's hold out hope for the enlightened Texans to come to the front. There have been a few in history. Ramsey Clark is from Texas. And Lyndon Johnson, who deserves all the credit in the world for the Civil Rights Bill that ended legal segregation.
And there was a great political commentator, Molly Ivins.
Yeah. And Molly Ivins, yeah. Long gone.
We could dearly use her right now.
dearly missed. That woman was a tremendous writer. So this is the Taylor Report, and it is CIUT at 9.5 FM. You can write to us go to facebook.com/ The Taylor Report.
You got that right. Yes.
I got that right. So right. Phil is watching. Yes, he has notes. Go ahead.
The Taylor Report is three different words, just like it is in real language. Facebook.com/ The Taylor Report. Mm-hmm. Or you can go to SoundCloud.com/ Taylor-Report.
Taylor-Report. We're a hyphen in SoundCloud.
Right. We're a hyphen in SoundCloud, but there's no hyphen in Facebook.
Yeah. So until the lawyers arrive, we're going to hyphen in some parts of the world. And you have to reveal all that when you cross the border. You have a hyphen there? Get out of the car. Come over here. Yeah, where'd you get this hyphen? Anyway, this is the Taylor Report. And we have to also bring you up to speed on, we believe, this is our duty, that Mr. Kaepernick remains unemployed. He is one of the greatest quarterbacks in modern NFL. And Jesse Jackson, go on the internet and read him. He's written a wonderful piece. I think it was published in the Chicago Tribune, by the way. Demonstrations did occur at several playing NFL sites yesterday. And as many players are pointing out, this is not over. Other players are now exercising their right not to stand for the playing of the anthem and their right to call attention to the unequal treatment delivered to African Americans in every city. And Malcolm X used to say South, and he said, when I say South, I mean from the Canadian border down. But we live in Canada, so we have to tell him from the Arctic down is the South, and there is unequal treatment. And by the way, we reported last week that Michael Bennett, an outstanding player for the Seattle Seahawks, was thrown down told to prone out. This is a police talk for life on your face, prone out. And then the policeman put his knee in his back and gun against his head and said he would blow his effing brains out. I recommend you go on the internet and read his letter titled, Dear World, This Happened to Me. It was not reported by the police. Only Michael reported it because they wanted it not to make a record. Now they want to sue him. They're complaining that the Las Vegas Police Department wants the NFL to do something about Michael Barrett for complaining about having someone put a gun to his head when he's unarmed and has done nothing, and say they're going to blow his effing brains out. They want him punished for that. So this is where you are. Ugly stuff. However, and further, I just want to list the names. Aaron Rodgers, probably the best quarterback in the NFL, and a senior figure amongst the professional football players. He says that Colin Kaepernick belongs on the playing field, that he is a real pro and deserves to be there, and it's politics that's keeping him off the field. Hank Aaron, the Hall of Fame home run champion from Atlanta Braves, he said that Colin Kaepernick has got a raw deal. And the NAACP in Atlanta, Georgia, is calling for boycott of NFL games. Richard Sherman spoke out. Richard Sherman told a very moving story at a press conference. He said, what happened to Colin Kaepernick? Pardon me. What happened to Michael Barrett has happened to all of us. He said, welcome to my world. And he told three or four anecdotes, each of them more frightening than the next, with a smile on his face about having guns put in his face. So this is turning into a wonderful phenomenon. And what a courageous, amazing man is Colin Kaepernick. He's given, in this past 12 months, $1 million to causes that are certifiable good causes, and he tells the whole world who they are and how much money. And you know, a lot of people say, oh, he's just shooting his – he just wants to be famous, or he's – no, no. Show me how many people from his kind of background, poverty, whatnot, relative poverty, give $1 million. So he deserves all the credit in the world. Now, today is Monday, so tonight on Monday Night Football – Hank Williams Jr. will return, and he will say, are you ready for some football? And everybody is saying, isn't this nice? Well, the reason he lost his job five, six years ago was that he called Obama Hitler. He said, Obama's like Hitler, as you all know. You just rung the bell. 10, you won. That's the most obnoxious, stupid thing you could possibly say. Old Hank did it, Hank Jr. Old Hank was a good singer. So he will be back singing his little football song. And in it, he has a line, all my rowdy friends are coming over tonight. Well, in Charlottesville, we saw all his rowdy friends because he is an unapologetic Confederate. On his website, on his great song, he has a song called, if the South would have won the war, we'd have had it made. So if you go to the song, the first thing you see is a Confederate flag, which is not permitted to be flown over capitals anymore anywhere in the United States because it is a flag of slavery, racism, etc. He is the face of the NFL. And I would tell you something. He belongs there. He belongs there because the owners of the L.A. Rams, the Washington quotes Redskins, the Jacksonville Jaguars, all gave $1 million to Donald Trump. And that's who they are. So by all means, I hope he wears his Confederate flag on his chest. We want it understood. They consider the National Football League a private business and their plantation. And when the slaves speak up, they punish them. They will be punished. So we have to speak up and turn off the damn NFL, among other things. But this is going to be a long, bitter, bitter fight. This is the Taylor Report, CIUT. You can write to us at facebook.com/TheTaylorReport. And SoundCloud, what, Phil?
SoundCloud.com/Taylor-Report.
Great. Thank you. We're going to be talking to Ann Garrison after the break.